This is Dan's Mega 65 Digest for September 2025, Super Extended Attribute Mode. I just got back from the Vintage Computer Festival Midwest 2025 in Schaumburg, Illinois, USA. I ran another two-day Mega 65 exhibit, this time in collaboration with YouTuber Retrocombs. I also gave another talk, which was recorded and will be uploaded soon. It was great to meet up with friends old and new and talk to many people interested in the Mega 65. I'd make this digest issue another trip review, but I have tarried too long on the next article in our character graphics series, and I shall tarry no longer. We'll save the VCF photos for next month. That said, we have some major project announcements this month. It's a jam-packed digest, so let's get started. Who remembers the Commodore 65? The talk I gave at Vintage Computer Festival West 2025 in Mountain View, California, Who Remembers the Commodore 65, is now up on YouTube. I had a good time with this and hope to explore this thesis in more detail someday. I hope you like it. Mega IP. XLAR 54 has released an initial version of Mega IP, a TCP/IP networking stack for the Mega 65 intended for use from BASIC 65 programs. This release includes a simple Telnet BBS client using the library. Mega IP even supports incoming connections for potentially hosting a BBS or other services from a Mega 65. See the GitHub repo for instructions and source code. Amazing work and thoughtfully designed. Looking forward to what else comes from this. Super Mega Assembler. Bobby Tables has released the first edition of Super Mega Assembler, a fork of Mega Assembler by Groovy, using an all-new assembler engine implemented in machine code for speed. SMA is self-hosting, a milestone for any assembler or compiler written in its own language that says it is capable of building its own code. This on-device assembly language programming environment includes the original text editor. Visit the Super Mega Assembler channel in the Discord to ask questions or to read Bobby's developer notes. Mega Pet. Rialto's Commodore Pet Core, Mega Pet, is now officially released. The core supports every known version of the Pet and comes packed with features. Check out the documentation for details. It's been a real pleasure watching Rialto's steady updates of this project on the Discord. Congrats on the launch. King's Quest on the Mega 65. King's Quest, the 1984 classic graphic adventure game by Roberta Williams and published by Sierra Online, runs on a game engine known as Adventure Game Interpreter, or AGI. Awesome Dolphin has developed Mega 65 AGI, a Mega 65 version of the engine. You can now play the first game in the King's Quest series on your Mega 65. Similar to Kibo's Mega Sputum, which plays Maniac Mansion by LucasArts, Mega 65 AGI requires that you obtain the original King's Quest data files to play the game. You can purchase the original game from GOG.com and use the included Python script to merge the resource files into a playable D81 disk image. Congrats to Awesome Dolphin on this major accomplishment. Featured files. More that's new on FileHost. Speaking of Mega Sputum, there's a new version that can play the Spanish language version of Maniac Mansion with the appropriate game data files. Even more arcade cores from Muse, check them out, Pitfall 2, Wonder Boy in Monsterland, and Choplifter. Yes, there were arcade cabinet versions of these games. Alpha Maze by Drex, a 3D maze generator with nice color gradients. Slide Puzzle 65 by Babala, the classic sliding tile puzzle. Heli Demo by Sir Geldy, a short demo of a helicopter flying over smooth scrolling text. use a joystick in port 2 to move the helicopter and press the button to fire, choplifter style. Haiku the Duel by MK9. Select from a library of lines to construct a haiku and try to outscore your computer opponent with the best poem. Is that a new release package? Filehost watchers have noticed that we have uploaded a new version of the Mega 65 platform. This is not a new release that you need to care about. The Mega 65 team is making a routine update to the main board to adjust for parts availability, and this inevitably requires small changes to the core. Neither the main board nor the release package have new features or bug fixes, and you don't need to upgrade. We just do a new release when any supported board needs a change. We are hoping to do a new major platform release sometime soon. Watch the usual spaces for updates. 8 million colors. Back in July, we played with mixing red, green, and blue light to make new colors in the system palette. We saw that we could use 16 possible amounts of each component, from none, 0, to most, 15, for a total of 16 times 16 times 16, or 4,096, possible colors. See the article for a short program that displays all of the colors we can make with 16 levels of green, and none of the red or blue. The program sets the first 16 palette entries to the green colors, then draws a rectangle in each color. Here, we're using Basic 10's palette command, which accepts the values 0 to 15 for each of the red, green, and blue amounts. Palette Restore brings back the default system palette before exiting. The Mega 65 improves upon the Commodore 65's 4,096 colors by allowing you to add fractional amounts of each color component. To each of these possible greens, you could add just a smidge more green to get a new shade, up to 16 possible smidgens of green, for a total of 256 possible green values in roughly the same range. Another example in the article displays 16 intermediate shades of green above each of the major 16 green values. The brightest green in this example is just a bit brighter than the brightest green in the previous example because we've added 15 smidgens. We can't use the basic 10 palette command here because it only supports the major values 0 to 15. Instead, this example pokes directly to palette memory. The greens of the palette entries are at addresses hexadecimal D200 to D2FF. Each value is an 8-bit value, 4 bits for the major value and 4 bits for the minor value. The Mega 65 has to do something clever to stay backwards compatible with the C65, which only supports the major value poked to the palette as the number 0 to 15. The Mega 65 stores the fractional or minor color value in the upper bits of the byte. For example, if you want a palette entry to be 7 smidgens above the third major green, you would store the 7 in the upper 4 bits, the upper nibble, and the 3 in the lower 4 bits. Another way to think of this is, there are 256 possible green values stored as a byte value 0 to 255, with the two nibbles swapped. The green of magnitude hexadecimal 37 is stored in the palette memory as value hexadecimal 73. There are 4 fractional bits available for green and blue, and 3 fractional bits available for red. The least significant red bit, in bit position 4 after the nibble swap, is reserved for a different purpose. With 23 bits to describe a color, that's 2 to the power of 23, or 8,388,608 possible colors for each palette entry. About that reserved red bit, the Commodore 65 was intended to have a feature where its video output could be combined with another video signal, using an analog video synchronization technique called Genlock. Back in the day, this technique was used to generate titles or graphics that appeared over a video camera recording or live broadcast. Imagine using a Commodore 65 to generate the text that appears at the bottom of the screen of the nightly news. The C65 would produce a full-screen image with the text at the bottom and the rest of the screen painted in a palette entry with this transparency bit set. When merged with the video camera signal, the news anchors would appear in the transparent portion. We actually do have a future use for this transparency bit on the Mega 65, specifically for the Megaphone project. In general, for the most future-proofed results, keep bit 4 of red palette values written to D100 to D1FF clear. Full palette, low-res, multicolor mode. In the Digest issue Character Study, we said that each character can be assigned a 5-bit value that identifies the color of the character from the first 32 entries of the palette. But if characters can only use up to 32 possible colors, how did the example above display 256 different shades of green? By using a new character graphics mode, of course. In the Digest issue Taste the Rainbow, we introduced low-res multicolor character mode, or MCM. In this mode, characters can either be high resolution, 8 pixels across, with a single foreground color, or low resolution, 4 double-wide pixels across, with a choice of a character-specific foreground color or 2 screen-wide alternate colors for each pixel. MCM is enabled by setting bit 4 of register D016. For the character-specific foreground color, low-res multicolor mode ignores color bits 4 through 7, and character attributes are disabled. In this new full-palette, low-res multicolor mode, all 8 color bits identify the foreground palette entry, from 0 to 255. To enable full-palette, low-res multicolor mode, set bit 6 of register D063, in addition to bit 4 of register D016. One oddity of this mode is that it still behaves like MCM. If color bit 3 is set, the character image is rendered in bit pair low resolution. This means that half of the palette entries render in low-res mode and the other half in high-res mode. In the greens example, we used the block glyph at screen code 160, which looks the same in both modes. To see the difference color bit 3 makes, replace the 160 screen code with, say, 65. Half of the shapes look different. I can't think of a reason why we couldn't also have a full-palette non-MCM mode, using just the register bit 6 of D063, replacing attribute bits for color bits without the MCM feature. I filed this as a feature request. I could be forgetting a detail that prevents this from being a good idea. It's difficult to keep track of all the video mode combinations. Introducing Super Extended Attribute Mode. All of the character graphics modes we've seen so far have given us new ways to draw pictures, but they have insisted that we trade away features such as resolution or available characters in exchange for more colors. Trade-offs are necessary because all these modes use the same amount of memory for a given screen size. 1 byte of screen memory and 1 byte of color memory for each character. If we want to go further, and further we must go, we need a screen mode that lets us exchange memory for features. Super Extended Attribute Mode, or SEAM, is one of the VIC-4's big upgrades to Commodore character graphics. Enabling it doubles the amount of memory used for each character, 16 bits or 2 bytes of screen memory and 16 bits of color memory. This both expands the possible size of the character set and makes room for additional rendering features on a character-by-character basis, the Super Extended Attributes. We'll stay in BASIC for the rest of this digest just to make it easy to experiment. Similar to other ways we've tried messing with the VIC-4 registers, the kernel screen editor doesn't know anything about SEAM, so you can't use its cursor-like printing features in these modes. The only way to take advantage of SEAM is to write directly to screen and color memory. In practice, these modes are easier to use for machine language, where we can do high-speed manipulation of memory. Setting up SEAM. Let's set up a program that enables SEAM, waits for a key press, then disables SEAM and returns to the ready prompt. We can put our experiments in the middle. See the article for the basic code. Step 1. Set the CHR16 register, bit 0 of registers D054. The VIC-4 reads 2 consecutive bytes per character of both screen memory and color memory. Step 2. Set the line step according to the desired horizontal resolution. The line step register at D058 to D059 is the number of bytes that make up each line of characters. In normal 80-column text mode, this value is 80, 1 byte per character. Seam doubles the number of bytes per character, so if we're staying in 80-column mode, the new value is 160. This may feel superfluous, but the line step register will come back in a big way in a later digest. Recall that 80-column text mode is controlled by the H640 register, D031 bit 7. You could switch to 40-column mode by clearing this bit, then set line step to 80 for 40 columns of 16-bit screen and color codes. Step 3. Set screen pointer, D060 to D063, to a memory location where we can put 80 times 25 times 2 bytes of screen memory. Let's use address hexadecimal 40000 for now. Step 4. Clear the screen. The example code in the article uses a for loop to visit every character position in memory, 80 columns, 25 rows, 2 bytes per character. It writes an empty space into each screen code and the color white into each color code. Notice that the example relocates screen memory, but reuses the same color memory as the normal text screen, so it has to reset color memory as it exits. Another option would be to relocate color memory the way we did screen memory to preserve the colors of the original normal text display. Using CHR16 screen codes. In CHR16 mode, each character gets 2 bytes of screen memory. This includes 13 bits for the screen code and 3 bits for another feature that we'll ignore for now. The screen code bits are arranged with the 8 least significant bits in the first byte and the 5 most significant bits at the bottom of the second byte. As long as you're not using the unmentioned feature, you can treat this as a 13-bit number stored in little endian format and leave the last 3 bits set to 0. In normal text mode, screen codes are 8 bits, 1 byte wide, for a character set of 256 possible characters. In CHR16 mode, you can write any byte value from 0 to 255 to the first byte, and 0 in the second byte to see these characters as usual. See the article for example code that writes the first 256 screen codes in the familiar pattern of 4 rows of 64. Notice that we can't use the basic T:\special array as we did last month, because BASIC knows nothing about custom screen memory locations or CHR16 mode. Instead, we calculate the address and screen code for each location. The example code uses the WPOKE command and increments the address 2 bytes at a time to write the full CHR16 screen memory value. 8-bit screen codes can describe 256 possible characters. Seam expands this to 13 bits, for a whopping 8,192 characters in a single character set. The easiest way to see this in action is to update the program to display more rows. Check it out! Lowercase letters and PETSCII graphics characters on the same screen. As usual, the VIC uses the character set memory pointed to by char pointer D068 to D06A, and locates the image data for a given character by counting up by 8 bytes per character up to the given screen code. With char pointer pointing at the PETSCII font, screen codes 0 to 255 refer to the PETSCII uppercase and graphics characters, and codes 256 to 511 refer to PETSCII lowercase and uppercase because both sets are next to each other in memory. But that's not all. There are plenty more characters available beyond 511. For now, the memory the VIC sees is filled with non-character data, so it looks like random snow. A game or application can install all manner of game graphics, alternate typefaces, or frames of animation in this memory. Thanks to CHR16 mode, they can all live happily on the same screen. That is, if you're willing to spend the memory. To use all 8,192 possible characters in a single character set, you need to dedicate 8,192 times 8, or 65,536 bytes, the entire available RAM of a Commodore 64, to character set data. If you don't need that much, just don't use all the screen codes. Using CHR16 color and attribute codes. Similar to screen memory, CHR16 mode doubles the amount of color memory used to describe each character. Only the second of the 2 bytes is used for actual color and attribute data, and this byte alone provides no additional color or character attribute features. This may be disappointing to hear at first, but the remaining 8 bits are used for graphics features so powerful that we'll have to discuss them in a later digest. As with normal text mode, the second byte of character memory can select from the first 32 palette entries for a character's foreground color, using bits 0, 1, 2, 3, and 6. As with the normal text mode, bit 4 is a blink effect, bit 5 is a reverse effect, and bit 7 gives the character an underline. Note that this cannot be combined with the full palette low-res multicolor mode we used for the 256 greens earlier. There's another way to get more color in SEEM. We'll take a good look at that in the next digest. The Mega 65's not-so-secret bitmap mode. With as many as 8,192 screen codes at our disposal, we can have all manner of graphics tiles on the screen in any combination. Imagine Crossroads, but with hundreds of enemy types. There's another thing we can do with such a large character set. On a screen 80 characters across and 25 characters down, there are 2,000 characters visible at any time. With CHR16 mode, we can put a different character in every screen location. Our example program was displaying characters 64 per row just to keep the Petsky character set tidy. To completely fill the screen with unique characters requires only a modest change to the loop. What's the big deal? With the screen filled with the first 2,000 characters of the character set is the screen. We can draw individual pixels onto the display by updating the character set. One more flashback to the previous digest, the character set describes what each character looks like as a monochrome set of pixels. Each character is 8 pixels across and 8 pixels down, represented as 8 bytes from top to bottom, most significant bit on the left. You can store the character set anywhere in the first 384 kilobytes of memory. The char pointer register D068 to D06A stores the starting address. For a character set of 2,000 characters and 8 bytes per character, we need 16,000 bytes, or 15 kilobytes. We've put 2,000 times 2, or 4,000 bytes of screen memory for our tapestry at address 40000, that's in hexadecimal, so we can put the character set immediately after it at address hexadecimal 40FA0. With the screen and character set pointers updated, and screen memory filled with consecutive screen codes, the next step is to clear the character set data. A simple loop writes 16,000 zeros. Now, for the tricky bit. This 640 by 200 pixel screen is organized into little 8x8 pixel stacks. To light up a specific pixel, we need to figure out which bit in which byte represents the pixel, then update that byte. Feel free to try to attempt this little math problem on your own. Here's what I came up with. Given X and Y coordinates, we can locate the starting address of the character that needs updating by dividing the Y coordinate by 8, rounding down, multiplying by 80, the number of characters across the screen, then adding the X coordinate divided by 8, also rounded down. This number, multiplied by 8, is the top row of the character containing the pixel. Then we just need to add the remainder of the y-coordinate divided by 8 to find the byte containing the pixel. Finally, the remainder of the x-coordinate divided by 8 tells us which bit in the byte needs to be set. Division is often computationally expensive, by which I mean it's slow, but thankfully all of the divisions happening here use a divisor of 8. This means we can use bitwise operations for both the division and remainder operations. The y-coordinate, shifted 3 bits to the right, is the same as dividing it by 8 and rounding down. Try this on paper if you're not convinced. Similarly, the y-coordinate bitwise ANDed with 7 selects just the lowest 3 bits, which is the same as the remainder from dividing by 8. Bit shifts and logical ANDs are much faster than division and are much easier to accomplish in machine language. We've filled the screen with the entire character set and are drawing pixels directly onto the character set for a bitmap graphics display. Pretty neat. Thanks for sticking with me through this series on character graphics. Each new concept is built on the last, and we still have at least 2 more major topics to cover. This, marks the 40th issue and the 3-year anniversary of Dan's Mega 65 Digest. I'm grateful to everyone for their support throughout this project. I could not do this without you. If you're finding this newsletter valuable, and I hope you are, consider becoming a supporter of the Digest. Visit ko-fi.com/DDDAAANNN. Don't touch that dial. More to come. For more, visit my website, dansanderson.com/mega65.